Today's episode is brought to you by Canva. Canva Pro is an online graphic design app that makes content creation easy for everyone. And it helps out the show. To start your 30-day free trial, head over to canva.blueboxdigital.com. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Think Outside the Blue Box. I'm Anthony Rivera. I'm the lead videographer and editor here at Blue Box Digital, and welcome to the podcast. In this podcast, we feature creative people, just entrepreneurs and their journeys and why they are where they are today. And today I have one of my favorite entrepreneurs. She lives in the Tampa Bay area. She started a Bronze Tail all on her own, and she runs it 100%, Miss Christina Passanisi.
For having me.
It's a great introduction. Thank you. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I think your story inspires me, actually. I don't think I've ever told you that before.
Really?
It inspires me, yeah, because, I mean, you're running this company by yourself. You came over from L.A. by yourself. Like, you're just a one-woman show, and we talked about this before.
Yeah.
Just a one-woman show.
One-woman band.
One-woman band.
Yeah.
So what made you start A Bronze Tail? And what is it?
Well, A Bronze Tail is it started off as a spray tanning service. And in LA, and
you started in LA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you lived there?
For 20 years.
Yeah. So, are you from there originally?
No.
No.
I'm actually from Boston and Florida.
Nice.
So a lot of people don't know this, but I was born in Florida.
Where at?
A very small town, which you'll probably know, but most people don't. It's called Avon Park.
Oh, yeah. Avon Park.
I don't even know where it is. I just learned it was in Highlands County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we travel back and forth a little bit between Boston and Florida. As a kid, I schooled in both places. And then when I was 24, I met my husband, well, my soon-to-be husband at that time, but I had met him at I was a product model at a tanning convention.
Look at you.
I actually had a tanning background very long time ago.
Nice.
And so I met him there.
So you were tanning the models?
No, I was a model.
Oh, you were the model.
Mm-hmm. I was a spokesperson for this particular company, and I had done some Hawaiian Tropic stuff at the time. And nice. This is all pre-Instagram,
yeah.
So I would have been big.
Wow.
If Instagram was out then.
Yeah.
Totally.
You think so?
I think so. I would have been a big deal. Not going to lie. I mean, I would have been like, the one. Mic drop. But yeah, so I was involved in tanning, you know, at that time, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, and then like when my background was in dentistry for many, many years. So I went to school at UCLA and all of that. I come from a family of entrepreneurs, and I also don't like being told what to do. And, you know,
that's a problem. If you want to have a job.
Yeah. Well, in every job in my dental profession, mm-hmm. I definitely excelled and wanted to be, you know, at the top and always doing the best and providing the best care for the patients. And because I was so passionate for people and providing that top quality care, I carried that out into my spray tanning business.
Nice.
So I definitely offered a combination of like chairside manner, as well as like the artistic approach to the services that we provided were very specialized, and it focused on bridal, a lot of industry stuff, you know, being in LA. So models, brides, and like photo shoots, if
gotcha.
You will. So it was a very niche client base. And through spray tanning, all of these women in LA, mostly women. I mean, I did have a few male, you know, clients, but not, it was more women.
Yeah. It's more female centric.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And so But it was fun. I started it, and because my husband at the time was involved in the entertainment business, he was a producer on Modern Family, and so...
So you already had the...
I sort of had an in, but not really. I mean, I really... What I did is I reached out to, like, modeling agencies there and made myself known, and I did have sort of an in, you know, with his business involvement, but... Yeah, it just grew. And I worked out of my home. I had a little studio and I really transformed it into a professional space beyond just a tent.
Look where we are. Yeah.
I mean, so it is very much, it can be done.
Yeah.
Well, now everyone's doing it all over the world. But we were way before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the trendsetter.
We are the trendsetters. So, yeah, I had the little studio and then it started off basic and then transformed it into a very professional space. And then from there, I opened up a space in Beverly Hills, a studio. And it was where we, you know, provided services, the spray tanning services still. And it was very luxury because my vision was really to provide, again, like going back to my dental profession is... It's not just my dental profession, it's me. Like, I like nice things and giving people top quality service. And maybe it's my Italian genes. and because I'm a Taurus, and nice. Taurus is ruled by Venus, which is all about beauty.
My God.
So we had offered red light therapy while you're getting a spray tan. And then... What is that? So red light therapy is like good for, it has many uses, but it's like operates at a cellular level. And the main purpose was to get some of those anti-aging benefits.
Gotcha.
But also they provide heat. So the main thing was for people to be comfortable.
Nice.
And create, if you're spraying cold liquids on somebody, if you're spraying cold liquids on somebody, then you want to control the outside space and make that warm. So,
oh, that's good.
You know, like kind of like when you get out of the shower, it's hot.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of people have that red lamp right above their shower, like outside their shower.
And we had them in the booth.
Yeah.
When you were getting sprayed, everything was custom, so they didn't walk into a booth themselves.
Yeah.
And so the lights were there and vibrating. Plate, you know, for lymphatic drainage.
Nice.
Just to create
a
standing
service.
Spa treatment.
Nice.
And yeah, it was very specialized and individualized for whatever they were doing, a photo shoot, a bride, and, you know, some contouring things that, you know, we would do for that particular person, from the shade to the contour to...
Yeah, it was everything.
Yeah.
It was a full spa.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And that I really wanted it to be. I wanted people to have that experience. I mean, I would like wipe every single nail and elbow, whatever needed, the extras, like they got pampered.
Nice.
And so during that time, I had started a product line. I've always really been big, like with marketing and branding. My father was a big advertiser and he was...
What kind of business did he have?
Outdoor advertising, so billboards.
Oh, wow.
And okay. He was one of the first, actually, in this area to put up billboards.
Nice.
He sold to Clearview.
Wow.
So it was in the 80s, you know, when he was...
Those are popping up everywhere.
Yeah, very, very, very successful with all of that. So I have that in my blood.
In your genes.
And my mom was a makeup artist and had her own makeup line. And so I, you know, just kind of, it's in me, you know, to do my
You're
own thing.
To be, You're raised to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Well, you know, a little digress, but a really funny story to share on entrepreneurship. And I'm so happy to share it with you because I don't think I've ever done it live like this.
Okay.
So this, the secret.
Nice. It's out.
The secret's coming out right now. So when Christina was a child in kindergarten, when around the age of when our teeth come out, we had to bring in teeth to school for show and tell.
Okay. You had to bring teeth?
Yeah, like, okay, children, bring in your teeth and we're going to do a show and tell, and you can, it's not something we would do now. But then it was a big deal.
Yeah.
When you're 5 or 6, I'm not sure of the exact age, but whatever age it is when your teeth are falling out, aside from 90, you know, so hopefully.
It's different. It's a different falling out.
Yeah, it's a different. But so we brought the teeth in and it was nap time. So everybody took a nap, and I decided that I would take the children's teeth and bring them home and put them under my pillow.
Oh.
Because I was so sure that I was going to get paid by the tooth fairy.
Turn it into a business.
I was like, this is for sure going to make me money. I was already thinking. And yeah. I already had it. I wasn't successful because the principal did contact my mom.
Of course.
And said, Miss Passanisi, your daughter is doing things again. This time she has stole the children's teeth. And she, so please, if you would discipline her when she gets home. Wow. And it was the only time my dad had ever hit me in my life. Yeah, I got whacked for that one.
For stealing teeth.
Yeah. But
I'm trying to build a business.
I was like, you know? This could get, I would get some money. Tonight. Nice. So there you go. It was already like in me then.
Wow.
And then so I started the product line, and
The bronze tail, or that was
a bronze tail. Okay. Yeah. So I had the service, and then I introduced a sunless tanner. So something that people could buy, you know, an at home product. And I ended up closing the studio right before COVID hit in 2019. It was the end of 2019.
Oh, wow.
I closed the studio. I actually got lucky. I feel like it was the first thing I had done right at that time in a long time was to close it.
Yeah.
And the thing that I wanted the most was freedom. So I had a friend come in and try to convince me to close it because I was stressed and just not feeling the greatest, you know, going through a divorce, and the divorce wasn't ugly at all. But when I looked, so I didn't want to close that space, but my best friend said, Christina, have you ever considered that? And I said, oh, no. How dare you? Because I had put so much into it, you know. Liquidated,
to just walk away from it.
Yeah, liquidated all my savings. Like this business, wow. I liquidated everything. Probably wasn't the smartest thing to do, but I didn't care. I was like, well, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, and
you gotta go all in though.
I went all in.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's major penalties to pay though when you liquidate a 401k, so I don't recommend it.
Yeah, yeah. don't do that.
Talk to your financial advisor first.
This is not financial advice whatsoever. No.
Don't take my financial advice. Yeah. But I had invested so much, and he told me to close it, and I didn't want to. But I ended up, after I had slept on it, and I thought to myself, you know something? I am going to close it. Because I want freedom. I don't want to be tied to this location. I don't know where I'm headed, but I know that I don't want to have to be stuck somewhere. Not that I didn't enjoy what I was doing, but I also know I like a little freedom. Mm-hmm. And so that is when, I closed shop, and then I decided to focus on the second line, which I have now, and it has grown. I've added a couple more products to it. And so the way the system is designed, the way the products are designed, are very much the way that I would do the spray tans. So the products basically are... They mimic that. And the quality... And the ingredients, you know, that are in the products it's like a skincare luxury.
You put a lot of science into that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. It was really important to me, you know, to have it be that high quality. And that's where I think I'm always trying to do my best. And so I put my best into the products. And
you put your best into everything you do. You have that kind of energy.
Yeah, it's a gift and a curse, yeah, sometimes. I will say.
It can be.
Right?
It can be a curse. What brought you to Florida to move here from LA?
So after the divorce, because I moved back in with my husband, actually. And we...
The divorce?
Yeah. Well, we finalized the divorce under his roof.
Okay.
But we were separated for 3 years. And then right when COVID hit, I moved in with him. I moved out of my place and moved in with him because he truly was the only person that I felt safe with. Mm-hmm. And I was considering moving to Florida at that time. But when I wanted to get out of my place and plan to make that move. But when I moved in with him, the very beginning of January of 2020, well, you know how soon after that happened. It was in March.
Yeah.
So, okay, this is where I'm at.
We're going to Florida.
Well, no, I stayed with him.
Yeah.
You know, up until November. I came here in October to look for a place to make sure.
Yeah.
Him and I had discussions about it. Where would be the best place for me to go, considering that you're going to be divorced mm-hmm. and I have family here. So my mom is here. Yeah.
Gotcha. She's in the Tampa area or the...
She's north of here. So like in Newport Richey.
Okay.
And she moved down from New York and she just loves it. I have two sisters here also.
Nice.
And so it made sense to come here. But to be honest, I'm kind of such a free bird. I really fell in love with the area, the Tampa area, like where I'm specifically located. Yeah. I love my building and the area I'm in, and I really like it there. I don't know that I would move to where my mom lives. I don't think I would. Coming from a place like LA...
Yeah. No, you got to be in the city.
I mean, unless I was ready for that, which I never say never. Two words I try not to ever say or never and always. I probably have said them even on this podcast.
Quite
but you know, it's just me being traumatic, but it's really true. Yeah. You never know. Like when you never know.
Yeah. You didn't know 10 years ago that you'd be in Tampa. And,
no.
Yeah.
I said then I would never come back here.
Nice. And here you are.
And here I am, and I love it. And I used to say I didn't want to be here because I have frizzy hair. And thankfully, the products have really come up.
Nice.
To where my hair can fight the humidity, and it's a big deal.
And still look normal.
It's a big deal. So now I just look at it like I'm on a permanent tropical vacation.
Nice.
And I've embraced the humidity. It's better for your skin anyways.
It is. It is. That's what my skin looks like.
I mean, that's what that glow is?
Yeah.
I thought it was because you were using my products. Thought it's for all those muffins you're eating.
It just gives me this complexion, you know?
You're definitely blushing.
I am definitely red. Right? Wow. No, that's awesome. But you've gotten your products up all the way up to QVC. I mean, that's the reason why you and I met.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that. How did you land that?
Well, I think I got lucky.
Yeah.
They scouted me.
Wow.
So they did find me on LinkedIn. This is not a plug for LinkedIn.
Or QVC.
This is a plug for neither. But they did find me on there, and I am not really, my LinkedIn is not even anything to write home about.
Yeah.
I really need to get back and fix it. But it just so happened that I started working with a management company, like a social media management, and she, you know, suggested me to be on LinkedIn. And so I went on LinkedIn, or I was active mm-hmm. on there. They scouted me. And the conversation started from there.
Wow.
Yeah. And they, you know, interviewed and wanted to know my story. And at that time, the new line had not launched. I had sent a sample to this particular person, and she loved the product. And we had intentions on making it happen sooner. But because of COVID, it didn't. And I'm glad it everything is really, the timing is the timing. That's one thing I've learned It this is not my favorite saying, but it is what it is. You know, you just sort of you roll with whatever, and you always think in that moment that, why am I? Why is this like this right now? But there is a reason.
It's part of the journey.
It is part of the journey. Yeah. It's like much as you want to rip your eyeballs out, it's part of the journey. And so when the new line came, I had eventually pushed and said I would rather wait for the new line because the branding, I had rebranded slightly with the packaging, and I knew that the new line was going to be better and have more to offer. So I wanted to wait.
Do it right.
And do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I met you, which I needed to get it right very quickly because we were going to...
It was on a time crunch.
It was get these... we got to get this content and we have to get it made and get this stuff done. And do you want to know what actually happened with that content?
No, what happened?
They didn't accept it.
Oh. Was it because of the...
It was too good.
It was too good.
So QVC's audience wasn't that liking the brand vision that we were very passionate and linked up on. Well, you brought my vision. You didn't tell me what to do, but I wanted that. That content was amazing.
It was fire. I loved it.
I know.
I loved it. They rejected the whole thing?
Yeah.
Wow. So what did they end up putting there?
We recently did new footage for it, and it's polar opposite.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's, you know, that's the thing when you have a company and talking about marketing and branding, you know, you have to shift and not try to fit into every single platform or every single demographic, but you have to diversify a little bit and know that you can't just be in one. Because it is a product that works for multitude of people. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing that sort of thing, people want to be able to relate.
Yeah.
And if you're only showing hot, sexy young chicks, you know, maybe a more mature woman doesn't relate. They still see beauty or see that it improves your skin or you look better and gives you that confidence. Because that's really what the brand is about. Mm-hmm. Is really about igniting your glow, which is like ignite your confidence. And I really feel that when you look good, you feel good. And
agreed.
It really is something. And it's not about being like self-centered and sounding shallow, like you have to look good to be someone.
No, it's a confidence booster.
But it's true. I mean, you put on a suit... You feel great, right? Versus your pajamas. Now, doesn't mean that you still shouldn't feel good if you're wearing your pajamas, but the reality is you comb your hair, you put a little mascara on, you put a little lip gloss on, you put a little self-tan on, and boom, you're feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, for someone who doesn't go out in the sun, because no matter what, you got to commit to either laying out in the sun, going to a tanning bed, putting a tan on, something, you know, you have to commit to one of them. Mm-hmm. And it's the easiest is to just spray it on. And voila.
Yeah.
And you're looking great. And because the products have a little bit of a skin firming element to them, they do definitely tighten up things a little bit.
Yeah.
And give a beautiful color. And you're looking fabulous.
I know as soon as I leave like a barber shop or something, it's just that instant confidence boost that you get from just a simple haircut, you know, just something very small.
Yeah.
You don't even think twice about, but it's like, it does, like psychologically, it really does help your confidence and you walk different, you talk different. It helps you.
Well, it's good to invest in you. Mm-hmm. Okay. And really, truly, sometimes when people ask me to give a brand story, it's not always easy because, look, being an entrepreneur is hard. Like, so hard, the ups and downs and what I go through. If you had this microphone in my brain, mm-hmm. it would be saying what I'm saying right now. But shoot, if it was on all the time, oh my God, it's a committee up there.
Yeah.
It's really, really stressful. And just when you have to hunt for your food and you rely solely on yourself, there are pros and cons to being a business owner and being an employee. You know, they both have their benefits and disadvantages. And neither of them are easy because you're giving up your time.
You're giving up a lot, yeah.
Either way. You have to keep going and keep doing it.
That's it.
You know, it's all you can do.
It's consistency.
Yeah, it is. It's consistency. Yeah. You just keep plugging away and just know that
it's going to work out eventually.
You gotta have some faith.
Some kind of faith.
Yeah. So, but the investing in you thing is huge, because it's really like you said, you get your hair cut mm-hmm. and you, isn't it amazing how you can, in such a short amount of time, you can look at yourself in the mirror, okay, and think you look horrible, right? I don't know. Have you had this ever happen?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Where you look at yourself and you're like, wow, Jesus. What is wrong with me? Yeah. Like, look old. My body's terrible. Is it the lighting? Is it really the lighting? I mean, or is this real life? And then you get that haircut. Mm-hmm. Or then you, you know, get that tan or those lashes. And you literally, I mean, even just the haircut.
Yeah, that's it. Something very simple.
And you come home and you're like, how did I just 10 minutes ago hate my life?
Feel like crap.
And right now I'm a freaking rock star.
Yeah.
How is that?
It also helps with your perception to others too, because the way that you look, believe it or not, has a huge effect on how people act around you. So not only do you feel good on the inside, but also like people treat you different. Mm-hmm. Like just walking into a room nice with a nice fresh haircut, you're going to get the looks that you're not going to get if you're like, you know, disheveled. And so that kind of brings into the whole how you feel, like your perception of yourself, mm-hmm. really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess it's as much as I'm the person who goes into the fitting room and doesn't watch myself change. I don't look at mirror. I mean, I do look at mirrors. I mean, of course, you know, got to check in. Yeah. I mean, if I'm getting ready and I'm putting on makeup, mm-hmm. of course. But I also know how hard I can be on my own self. And if I'm in a fitting room, I don't look. I just put the clothes on and I see the final.
Yeah.
Like, let's just look at the good stuff. And if the clothes don't look good, I take them off immediately. Yeah. I don't even try to make it work. Unless I think a little hem job, which is most of the time I need it. Yeah. So
is it because of your height?
I'm a little like vertically challenged. So, but yeah, I mean, but once you look good and you're, you know, you don't want to get trapped in that mindset of, wow, I look like crap, because then
it becomes that cycle then.
Yeah.
It's like the negative cycle starts.
Yeah. So it's good just to know that it's good if you looked good 10 minutes ago, chances are you'll look good again.
Yeah.
So
just eventually.
I mean, yeah, it's a real thing.
Now, as an entrepreneur, I know that there's a lot of things that you have to contend with, that you have to pretty much juggle a lot to be an entrepreneur. But I wonder, like, what is it like for you as a female? Like, have you encountered any like pushback from anybody, or any different treatment from business owners or anything like that because you're a female?
No. I haven't, like, as far as in like just out of jealousy, or like, you mean like,
no, like business partners, they just don't want to do business with you
or, because I'm a female. Yeah. No.
Discrimination.
I haven't had that. I'm like trying to think if I have. No, I think because my industry is so female focused.
That's true. Yeah.
So I'm not really walking in those shoes. Like, I'm not going up against that. And mm-hmm. I haven't, even with QVC, I've been dealing with a woman. There are stories though. I can't remember her name, but I read her book and she definitely quoted, had experience like that with somebody, you know, a male figure mm-hmm. that was like, no, like the vision, whatever. And even I have a go-to idol or someone that I really look up to is Sarah Blakely. You know, she's the inventor of Spanx. And nice. She tells her story about, you know, how the maker of her Spanx was like a man, or she was in an industry where men were making lingerie for women. And then it was sort of, didn't make sense. And things have changed even mm-hmm. drastically since then.
Yeah, quite a bit.
But she, as a woman, was like, I know what a woman yeah. needs. Like, and it was a male dominant world just in general.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's so subjective because like we could look at it that way, but then we look at it now and mm-hmm. there are men doing everything, women kind of doing everything, but one person
the reason I bring that up is because in photography and videography, it's a male dominated industry pretty much. I don't know if you've worked with any female videographers, but they're rare. And I've talked to a few that I've actually worked with. I've done some events and stuff with them, and they get the looks. You know, it's like, oh, you're a female, you don't know what you're doing, kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's tough. It's tough when you're trying to start a business like that, and it's all male centric, and it's like.
Well, and on that note, I have more often than not nice. Chosen female doctors. Just because I usually favor, it's funny, I'm a guy's girl.
Yeah.
I have more male friends because I don't like a lot of drama. And sometimes women, you know, it's just not really my thing. I'm definitely more of a masculine energy if I have to put a label on myself. It's funny because I'm a guy's girl, but I tend to choose females for most professional relationships because I just feel more comfortable that way.
Yeah,
and
I can see that.
Some as a female, and it's also, yeah, there's something real to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see a female gynecologist, you know,
understandable though.
You know, I mean, the parts are there, but you know, this part, they study it, but mm-hmm. it's still like just having that level of comfort.
Yeah.
So, but in my industry, it is very female. It's all kind of female. Mm-hmm. And we do have men, of course, that are interested, but my brand is more focused on females. But I'll tell you something maybe that falls on what you're talking about. Because my brand is really about confidence and independence, so to speak, which I don't get to talk about this much, but I actually have... I'm very in favor of women. I'm not a crazy feminist. Like,
yeah.
I'm really not. I'm not, but I am
yeah.
in a sense to where I want to see women continue to do well. And I think there are dynamics where women are in a family household with a husband and children, and they're still in that role of they're a mom. And, you know, I don't know personally, but I feel just because I'm smart, it's common sense that knowing how a woman would feel to sacrifice their entire life to raise children and then to have a man, whether he's doing it intentionally, like to suppress somebody else, because there are dynamics like that where men are like, this is your role.
Yeah, for sure.
My husband was not really like that, but kind of in a way where I felt a little, even though he did everything for me, but I did feel this desire to be completely independent. And a lot of it, my goal and my focus and my just going after my business comes from that of I can do it too. And I don't want somebody to tell me what to do and what decisions I need to make. And not because it's about being selfish or inconsiderate to somebody else. I just think that women find themselves in situations that they don't have a voice and they can't do something. They don't do something because they're limited by a financial power, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of, you know, when you're trying to find that and make money, and there is something about having that independence that really means something. And when you're raising a family, you're not, that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard job. And that is a job. And I made that decision not to do that because my business is my baby, if you will. But it's a major sacrifice. And so when people say that women, when they're like, oh, well, you're supposed to have kids or you're supposed to be a wife, or like, that's not the only thing we're here for.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Not just baby factories.
And you know something? If that is the case, damn, we have a lot that we have to do. So if somebody doesn't acknowledge that, to the sense, like a woman as a mother to a child is, it's a spiritual, mental, physical commitment and a true sacrifice to yourself.
It really is.
Okay. So you have to abandon, you, it's so difficult to have everything. And because being a mom is a full-time job. And I knew I didn't want that job because it is a full-time job.
It really is.
The worry, all of it is, like, just that alone, I would never sleep. So,
especially in like the first half of their childhood, you know, they're kind of dependent on you.
5 years, I say. Yeah. I say it's a 5-year commitment.
Yeah.
For sure, at indefinitely. Least. You're at a feeding least. Zoo. Yeah. You're providing the milk, you know, mm-hmm. you're providing that after that. They need mom. They need that caretaker.
Yep.
And so, you know, that doesn't, mom can't go out and do the things that she wants to do. And I just feel in favor, like I want to be a voice for those moms that maybe they think their only calling in life is to have kids. And I'm not saying, I'm not against children, but it's not your only purpose.
Yeah.
You know, I found being,
you have a choice.
Yeah.
It's
a choice. You do have a choice. And it, sometimes you think like, I'll get all mommed up and then that's my job. And then I'd rather do that than do other things. And it's not always, you know, healthy to always just sacrifice,
put yourself as in second place. Yeah. Because then after the kids are all grown up, they have their lives. And what have you done with yours?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah.
But how do you manage both?
Yeah.
And so now that's what's happening in the world is mm-hmm. women are now career focused and they're moms. And so that's why, you know, nannies are big now.
Yeah.
Because how do you do both? But then some people, they really frown upon it.
There's a lot of guys too being stay-at-home dads too.
Yeah, that's, I've seen that. Yeah, that's happening now too. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of those dads yeah. out there. I mean, I kind of know one that's sitting opposite me right now.
Yeah, I'm a single dad.
Wearing all those hats. Yeah, yeah, that's very true. So if we say yes, okay, it's definitely more moms,
mm-hmm.
but you understand that sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it is a sacrifice. It is. It really is, because you're pouring yourself into this person. I mean, you see them as children, but they're people. Like, they have feelings, they have wants, they have dreams, they have, you know, it's like you're raising another person in society. So it's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
For sure.
And fortunately, you don't have to do your hair and makeup and get your nails done. I mean, it's not your choice, I should
yeah,
say.
Yeah.
But as a woman, she has a lot of other demands.
Mm-hmm.
So think about the working mom. Or the working dad, but we're going to use moms or people, moms that want to, that, because let's face it. I mean, as a woman, your looks and how you present require a little extra.
A little bit.
Yeah. You know, I mean, a little makeup.
I just wake up, brush my hair and get at the door.
Yeah. So. And you're good. I mean, yeah. and for us, we're like, okay, we want to look, enhance our lashes, enhance mm-hmm. our tan, do all these things. But when you also have all that other stuff to do, I always say women are at a 8 to 10 year disadvantage compared to men. how I come up with that number?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell me.
So if you were to add up all the hours that it takes between nails, hair, self-love.
All the womanly stuff.
All the womanly things. Then it probably amounts to about 8 to 10 years in the whole lifespan.
Yeah.
And so I think men die younger, you know, statistically they do, mm-hmm. but they actually, women get that 10 years at the end.
Nice. Nice. You outlast us all.
And so again, we're stuck.
Yeah.
Living more life. I sound terrible right now. Like, but it's kind of true. I mean, we're like, yeah. we are brought into this world. We have all this on our shoulders. Mm-hmm. And then we live longer.
Yeah. Because you take care of yourself a little more.
We spent 10 years that. Doing it, and yeah. then we get it at the end. You know, where men are a little more reckless. They're like, peace.
A little more busted up, yeah.
So they leave us, and then we're like, happy you're gone, because we're like, God, I'm so glad he's finally out of here and finally live. Should have gone sooner, no kidding. Damn it, got cobwebs down there.
You got to clean those cobwebs. Wow. So you and I worked on a video for your birthday, and you said that you're a confidence builder.
Confidence creator.
Confidence creator, yes.
Yeah.
How do you see yourself as that?
So kind of what we've been talking about a lot here is just building that confidence in somebody by their exterior, or having the self-awareness. And the brain is a big part. I'm
mental
big
health.
Yeah, mental health is definitely yes. a thing, and I'm a huge, I study the brain, mm-hmm. and I put in a lot I invested myself a lot.
Good,
and so I'm
good.
Kind of a nerd.
And your brain is part of yourself, so
yeah
sometimes you gotta take I care wonder. Of your brain.
I don't know.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes, is it?
Is it me? I don't know.
I don't know. But having that confidence, like sort of what you had said, when you get that haircut and you mm-hmm. look good and you present, you people look at you differently, and you take on a certain persona when you feel confident.
You do.
And yeah. it is really great to... I'm going to say this, it's not my favorite thing to say, fake it till you make it, but you really can fake it till you make it, even in the confidence. Everything is a practice, and you have to...
It's your self-talk.
It is.
You have to control that self-talk.
Yeah, and knowing and having the tools available to you, and so learning what those things... There are so many resources out there that you can learn how to feel more confident if you're wondering how to do it, because there are a lot of people who really don't know how, mm-hmm. but it is a game changer when you just feel confident, because it's like, you know, that movie when the kid puts on his glasses and like nobody can see me, but he mm-hmm. feels like so powerful.
Superman, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, it's the same. You know, you feel, when you feel that confidence, it does really carry out. And so it's an important thing. I think the confidence, having it is... It's so valuable. It's so yeah. important. And
because yeah, when you're not confident, then it kind of seeps into every part of your life. You know, that it again, it's that negative cycle
yeah.
that starts. The positivity and the negativity are all cycles. And, you know, you can feed one or the other. And it's the one that you feed that you're gonna benefit the most from. And
yeah.
I've learned that from my brain science books that you've kind of suggested.
Well, I'm...
Like, you can literally train your mind... And change yourself from the inside out.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It is wild. Isn't it crazy how, like, the chemistry of how we release these hormones into our body, you know, and
that's basically what it is. It's just an orchestra of hormones that
yeah.
you can control that in a sense, in a way.
It is a reprogramming that has mm-hmm. to, or deprogramming.
Deprogramming
that,
and reprogramming, yeah. for sure.
It's not easy, though. Yeah. I mean, I... struggle with it all the time.
We all do.
Because so, I mean, yeah. we got a lot to do.
It's a lot.
But it is.
Yeah, like you were saying, we evolved. Like our society has evolved faster than our biological evolution. and it's kind of causing some friction. some things are happening that they're not supposed to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wild, wild world out there.
Yeah.
So you got, finding like that inner peace is important.
Yeah, it's important.
It is like confidence and peace.
Yeah, that's it.
And finding that balance.
Yeah.
That's why I just recently invested in an aerial yoga swing, which is, you know, you can do a lot of inversions and things. I'm going to hang it in my living room.
Nice.
We'll see what else happens with it. But the thing I also love about it is you can cocoon yourself in there and sort of hide and just meditate.
Yeah, psychologically that helps. I know my daughter, she went to therapy and her therapist told her that if she wants to just kind of close the world out, you just go into your closet, you wrap yourself up as much as you can and just cocoon yourself.
Yeah.
Literally. And then that kind of resets everything.
Yeah.
Mentally.
Isn't that awesome? It reduces
stress. Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, because I would think, and I'll let you know, we'll have to do a part two on the cocooning process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I would think that it's like some of the stuff we've been studying with our friend Dispenza, who I love. But when you get into that part of your brain, when you quiet things down, you're able to surpass those thoughts and those things that those gremlins.
Yeah, the preconfigured neural connections that you've made through your life.
You know, yeah.
That's why the reprogramming kind of comes in, because you have to break that a little bit.
Yeah. So hopefully this cocooning will do. It's like one of those those things that you go in. There's a bath or something. I haven't done that yet. There's a water you go underneath this.
I was the one who told you about that. Yeah.
Was it you?
Yeah. It's the sensory deprivation tank.
Yes.
Yes. That I've done that a few times, and that's it's amazing.
Yeah, that's kind of like a similar thing. You're cutting everything off, everything. Right?
Yeah, because the water is the temperature of your skin. So after like a minute or so, it equalizes, so you don't feel anything. Like your skin doesn't feel like you're floating on liquid. They put so much salt in the water that you float, even if you don't want to. Like you just float on top of the water. They close the capsule so you get no light. There's no sound.
Wow.
So it's just, you're completely closing off your brain from all of your sensory inputs, and it's so relaxing.
Oh my gosh.
It's so relaxing.
And as an introvert, extrovert, I...
Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah, it's a good experience. It's a good experience.
I'm like, can we get that in my house?
Yeah, right. sensory deprivation tank in the corner.
Install it, please. I'm going now.
Yes.
Going down.
Wait, what?
I mean, I kind of feel like I am here. Wow.
I love our conversations.
So entertaining. It is always a good time.
But yeah, we kind of bonded over this brain science thing. We kind of send books back and forth to each other, which, by the way, we're sponsored by Audible today. So if you're looking for a good audiobook, Dr. Joe Dispenza, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah,
that's a good one. He's written quite a few books on brain science, and it's a good way to kind of understand why things are happening in your brain, because sometimes it's like, oh yeah, I just get panic attacks, but like, why? Let's dig in and see why you're doing that. Like there's got to be something in the brain that's causing that. So I love how he just breaks everything down, and not only that, he teaches you how to reprogram it. Like he teaches you how to, you know, yes, that's the way things have been, but this is how you break that habit, and this is how you build new habits, and this is, you know, this is how to move on from that lock that you've put yourself in. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Highly successful and efficient people all have one thing in common. They all read, or at least listen. Now listeners of the show can get a free audiobook when you sign up for a free 30-day trial of Audible. You can keep the book even if you decide to cancel. Go to audible.blueboxdigital.com to sign up today. And now, on with the show.
I'm reading it's called The Greatest Salesman in the World, or I have the book with me. I'll show it to you after. But it's a very short book. It's not long at all. I bought it in paperback and I bought it on Audible too. And because I liked, sometimes I'd like to have a paperback, and this one is one of those ones, because you have, there's a...
Certain books that you just have to have that tactile.
And this one, you need to read something every day, and it's easier just to open the book, because it's only a few pages, but I love the thing. It's a very, he was a, he was a literary, the man who wrote it. And it's really a cool book, but I love how he says, we are all victim to our habits. So you might as well be victim to good habits.
Nice. I like that.
Okay. And the whole truth in that is because we are creatures of habit.
We really are.
Okay. And it's okay. Because we having that structure is actually healthy.
Yeah.
You know, of course it's good to get out there and experiment too, but at the end of there's still a day to day sort of that we can find. Not everybody. I don't know. Some people really have that life.
Yeah.
I like that lottery ticket, please. Right here.
Right here.
Party at two. Tank, plane, tank in the Done. Plane. We're going, we're out.
Taking off.
So, So having the good habits is just, so the book, you read a scroll, they're called. You read a scroll every day, the same one, there are 10. And you read one scroll for 30 days. And then the next scroll for 30 days. And you read each scroll for three times a day for those 30 days.
Wow.
So it's a 10-month essentially, if it's 10 scrolls.
Yeah. And so you're forcing yourself to build this new habit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That's good.
Yeah. And that's it, and I'll have to tell you, every time you read the same thing, I'm not going to lie, it's been hard for me to do it three times a day. Mm-hmm. I have missed days.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know.
It doesn't have to be, it's not an exact science.
I mean, I even brought it with me as like, okay, I feel like if I bring it with me, I'm
you
doing it.
You feel a little bit more compelled to read it.
I'm like, well, at least I brought it with me. That's a habit. But every time you read it, you do kind of, something else opens up for you.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about earlier, is that self-talk, is that sometimes that self-talk can be a little negative. And that can start that negative cycle. So that self-talk is very important, because like you said, it builds the habit. So if you're building a habit of negative self-talk, that's who you're going to become, literally.
Yeah. Gosh, that's such a hard one to overcome.
Yeah.
And even as an introvert, extrovert, which I am quite a chameleon, but at the end of the day, I'm certainly both, but sometimes the thing that I may not like the most, which is talking to people or being around people, is the best thing.
Yeah.
Because
you have to force yourself kind of to be out there and do the networking and the stuff that you don't like doing, but you know that it's for a purpose. So.
Or even if it's connecting with friends, which is hard to do, you know, just for social reasons only, but it is healthy to do that. And
being an entrepreneur is hard doing that. Your social life kind of takes a hit.
I don't have one.
I don't either. I don't either. These are my friends, you know?
Yeah.
These are the conversations that I value.
Revolves around like business, you know, somewhat. But even though we're having real conversations, it's still in a work
business
environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, Christina. What's next for you? What's coming up for A Bronze Tale?
Well, A Bronze Tale has a couple more products that she's in the lab with right now.
Nice.
Okay. So we have a couple more things coming, and we have a new, some new creatives coming with the site. Just bringing in, some
just
new
stuff.
Just building, building, and
more trying, building,
and and always doing my absolute best.
Nice.
Of course,
I love your energy, Christina. It's very contagious.
Well, good. I'm glad I could be a fresh breath of air.
Absolutely.
For you.
You're actually the first female guest on my show, so.
Really?
Yeah, you're special.
Me?
You are.
Oh my God. gosh. Wow. I'm so privileged.
Yes, you are. You're setting the precedence. You
know? Awesome.
It's going to be hard to you know, come close to you, but you yeah, know, well, they can try.
They can try. I think you're going to be good at this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the females are really going to love you. They're going to love you. Just be careful because sometimes they're a little crazy. No, so, little you bit. Know.
Yeah. I've dealt with the crazy. So
you're going to be just fine.
Thank you. Thank you. Christina, where can they find your stuff? Where are you online?
Well, my website is website, social abronzetail.com, and then social media is abronzetail.
B-R-O-N-Z.
Yeah, there's no E, so A-B-R-O-N-Z-T-A-I-L, and that's pretty much across the board. So social and website, abronzetail.com.
All abronzetail.
That's nice. Right.
Where, before we leave, where did you come up with that name? Where?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. So, I was actually in Boston visiting family and trying to come up with the name for the business.
Yeah.
And
as you do.
Yeah. You know, just it's crazy how you do have these aha moments.
Yeah.
Boom. It's
it
there.
It just clicks. Yeah.
And my cousin was helping me. And so I had bronze and beautiful and just a plethora
just the keywords,
of all these like literally rows of words.
Wow.
And so my mom is originally from the Bronx. And I'm Sicilian, as we talked in earlier
Passanisi.
About Passanisi. And my mom is also Italian. So even if you go on 23andMe, mm-hmm. I'm 97% Italian.
Oh, no way.
Which is crazy because yeah, nobody is pretty pure.
Yeah.
Pretty pure.
Pretty pure.
But the movie A Bronx Tale is one of like my favorites. And okay. It's... It's relatable in for my life as well, being Italian and, you know, my, so I'll leave it at that. But it's a spinoff of that movie, my mom being from the Bronx, and it wasn't planned that way, but once it came to, it was like, oh, wait, this is so perfect because
it fits.
Yeah. And I went to see that play and I met, I think it's, what is it? Anthony or what's his name? Paul Monteri. That actor that played in...
Oh, no way.
Chaz.
Okay.
Chad Palminteri. I met him at the play.
No way.
Yeah, at the Bronx...
Tale.
play. So I met him at that play, and it was really amazing. I gave him my business card.
That's
I was
awesome.
Like, look, I just want to tell you something. My name of my business is off this movie. And he really got a kick out of it.
That's
I have
cool.
a picture of us together.
And nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta see that.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun. It's
that's cool.
Yeah, the name is catchy.
Yeah,
it's kind of it's
a bronze tail.
Yeah, only us old folks though.
Yeah,
know about it.
The young guys try to spell it differently.
Yeah, they don't know that movie. It's kind of embarrassing too. And I'm like, so you know that movie, A Bronx Tale? They're like, no. I'm like, of course you don't.
It came out before I was born.
Just like I don't know whatever current music you're listening to.
Yeah, right.
Just buy it. It'll make you look good.
Yeah.
Just don't worry about the
movie.
Don't
worry about the name. Yeah.
Never mind.
All right. Well, thanks again, Christina. Thank you for coming on and telling us your story. You're welcome back anytime.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
This
I
loved
fun.
It. I
yeah,
had a great time. Muffins.
Muffins. I'm definitely going to put that muffin song in the beginning. Awesome. And for us, it's going to be Blue Box Podcast on Instagram and on TikTok, where we actually got a TikTok account. We're going to post these video episodes on YouTube. So it's youtube.blueboxdigital.com if you want to follow along there. Thank you so much, Christina. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And then we'll see you guys in the next episode. Thank you.
Great.
Was it?
Hell yeah.